Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
iPhone calling Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The iPhone's making a big splash in the U.S. today after 6 months of hype. Big day for Apple, sure, and for AT&T, the phone's exclusive carrier in the U.S. Apple wants to sell 10 million iPhones worldwide by 2008. But in Europe, the company doesn't have a wireless partner yet. Elizabeth Judge is telecoms correspondent with the Times of London. Elizabeth, you've reported on intense negotiations between Apple and the major mobile companies in Europe.
All of the main European operators are desperately keen to get their hands on this. They've been in intense negotiations for many months. And as the US launch happens, these negotiations are reaching a climax in Europe. You know, Apple wants to launch it here by the end of this year. And in order to do that, they will need to secure a deal with one of the networks pretty soon.
Is there a front runner at this point?
At this point, Vodafone, our sources are telling us, is the front runner. This is partly because of its sheer size and scale and spending power. It's an £88 billion market cap company, and so it has a spending power that its rivals lack. At the same time, its chief executive, Arun Sarin, is known to have a good relationship with the Apple chief executive, and they've had private talks about this. So we know they're pushing hard for a deal, and it looks like the money's on them getting it.
What about T-Mobile? You got to believe that a company like that is not going to take this laying down.
Oh, no, sure. None of the all the rivals are going to put up a fierce fight. They're not going to let Vodafone get it without a fight. And partly that's because they stand to gain more from this. You know, they're the smallest player in the UK market, T-Mobile, and it would mean a lot for them to be able to associate themselves with the Apple brand and the luster that it has.
Elizabeth Judge, she is telecoms correspondent for the Times of London. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
It was a mixed day for the stock market yesterday after the Fed made no change on interest rates. The Dow fell 5.5, the S&P slipped a fraction, but the NASDAQ was up 3 points. What? Another import alert? There have been a rash of Chinese-made products failing to meet U.S. safety standards. This week we mentioned toothpaste and tires, now seafood. The FDA is blocking the sale of 5 types of farm-raised seafood from China, including shrimp and catfish. They've found cases of contamination from unapproved animal drugs and food additives. China is the biggest importer of seafood to the U.S. The president's trade negotiating power, known as fast-track authority, expires tomorrow. It allows him to craft international trade agreements on his own and limits Congress to only an up or down vote. Critics of unfettered global trade are happy to see it go away. Elizabeth Wynne Johnson reports.
With Fast Track on its way out, Congress will regain a voice in global trade agreements. Not good, says Matt Slaughter, who teaches international economics at Dartmouth.
Other countries are much less likely to want to enter in and negotiate in good faith with the United States, knowing that after a deal is closed with the U.S. Trade Representative, that it can still be reopened and altered by members of Congress.
That's a myth.
Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, along with many small business and labor groups, blames the sweeping authority for hastening the flow of jobs overseas.
All of us who oppose Fast Track want trade. We want more of it. We just want trade with a different set of rules.
To address currency manipulation, for example, and better protect workers' rights and the environment, Congress has no plan to renew the soon-to-be-defunct fast-track authority. Instead, it will soon be grappling with renewed responsibility. I'm Elizabeth Wynne Johnson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Mended Hearts to provide online and hospital support to newly diagnosed heart disease patients. You can learn more at mendedhearts.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
The entertainment biz is facing a perfect storm, one that could create major work stoppage over the next year. The industry's contract with its writers expires in October, and next June, contracts for actors and directors run out. This has Hollywood in hyperdrive. You see, movie studios and TV production companies are rushing to get projects into production. They're stockpiling films and shows in case an industry-wide strike shuts down Hollywood. Stu Levine is assistant managing editor at Variety.
Well, the big issue right now, I think, especially for the writers, is they really felt they got worked over really badly on their last deal on rights as far as DVD, internet. At the time of that negotiation, the producers were saying, well, we don't know what these technologies are going to produce. How could we pay you for something we don't know what's going to happen in the future? Well, what's happened is these shows now are not just broadcasting on television and in theaters, but they're broadcasting on iPods and on cell phones and on DVDs. And the writers are getting very minimal payment for these services, and they want their just due.
So the upshot is that the film industry is getting as much product into the pipeline as possible right now, kind of to avoid a problem with product should a strike occur a year from now.
Right. The film studios right now are really stockpiling scripts. They're putting kind of green light for everything they think is doable with big stars to kind of get big profits right away, which is actually bad for business because the best scripts and the best movies usually take time to be nuanced and to be done a couple times to make it right.
What's at stake for the television industry in all this?
TV will be in bad shape if this happens, only because scripted shows will have to be rushed if the strike happens in June when new shows have been announced and the new shows can't go into production. So there'll be a glut of reality shows because supposedly they're not written. Of course they are, and the product will just be awful.
Who's most at risk right now?
I think everybody's concerned. I think the actors are concerned because they won't be able to get jobs. Writers will be out of work. The studio heads will be super concerned because they won't be able to put product out there. They can't turn profits, yet they still have to pay hundreds and hundreds and thousands of employees. There will certainly be no winners in the situation. The thing that scares me is I think the unions, the WGA, the directors, and the writers and SAG, all of them will be much more militant this time. I think some people felt the studios kind of took advantage of them last time, and I don't see anybody rolling over this time.
He's Stu Levine, assistant managing editor at Variety. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.